Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hourglass with Isabella. I'm your host, Isabella, joined, of course, tonight with the fantastic, wonderful Mr. Corvus.
Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here. What an intro.
Yeah.
What are we going to be discussing tonight, Michael?
I believe this will be our second podcast on the series Dexter.
Yes, and for those of you who have listened to the first one, you might be a little bit confused because you're thinking, didn't you guys already cover both things in that first episode? The reality, however, was at the time we'd not seen the last episode of Dexter New Blood for the new season, which is currently available on Amazon.
Right, yes. It's a Showtime feature available on Amazon Video or directly through Showtime.
Yes, so here comes a warning. If you have not seen this episode, if you've not finished Dexter, switch off now. This is not a podcast for you. This is going to contain massive, like, groundbreaking level spoilers and a lot of angst, I think, and a lot of venting.
A lot of angst, yeah.
A lot of venting coming up here. So if you've not seen it, go check out another podcast. We've got plenty of topics out there for you to peruse through and enjoy. However, if you've seen the end of Dexter New Blood, stick around here because we are going to be discussing the finale and what happened there. What the hell happened there?
What the hell did happen there? Well, I guess sometimes the way I organize things is, I think with our last podcast, you had seen up until season six.
Thereabouts.
Six, maybe we're getting into season seven of the original Dexter.
Yes.
What we were doing was we watched a new episode, and it came out episodically. We all know that that glory of binging something, you know, episode 1 through 10, episode 1 through 12 once it's out, but these were coming out once a week. So
yeah.
In between the new episodes of Dexter New Blood, we are going back and revisiting the original series. Of which I'd seen the first three or four multiple times. The last three I had only seen, I think, maybe once. So we got you having kind of a new experience watching some of these. And
I mean, I still had a sense what was
going
on.
You had a sense of
what was
going
on. For me, there was no, like, because at that point, obviously, all the old fans, there were spoilers. Like, I knew who was going to kind of die and all this stuff. I guess what I wasn't expecting from this new one, you know, I'm just going to lay it out there. I kind of wasn't expecting Dexter to die in a show called Dexter. Like, and I get it seems inevitable, but if they had wanted to go that route, they should have just done it in the end of a previous one, I felt, perhaps.
Yeah, God, and how to unpack this.
How to unpack the fact that Dexter is dead in a show called Dexter. What are they going to call the next season? Harrison?
Yeah,
I mean,
I probably won't watch that.
Because he's, and no offense to the actor there, he's just not, to me, a strong enough character to pull it through. Because, let's face it, we're kind of there to watch Dexter. And I'm all for, like, Dexter's notorious for killing off characters that you love, like Deb.
Right.
You know, anyone you love is going to die.
The show Dexter is notorious for killing off characters you love.
The writers are notorious, and of course the book itself, you know, which I got you
yes,
for your
you
birthday,
did.
A series
yes,
of books
you.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just, I mean, what did you think when Dexter, the fact that Harrison, his son, killed him? Like, his own son, who he had just saved, like, an episode or something before.
Right, yeah.
From Emma Death just kills his dad? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, okay, so there's a couple of caveats here. So, first and foremost, you'll rarely see me dumping on any kind of, you know, movie or you know, program, show, music, or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very reserved in that, in the fact that I figure, well, you know what, I haven't produced a movie like this, of this caliber, this scale, or something like that. So who am I to sit and put my opinion out there? Okay, I'm a consumer. I'm a viewer. Okay, so I'm very soft when I sit in judgment of things.
So am I, though. Yeah. I only have ever done this with one other show, which is Game of Thrones, which I think we can all agree
this was just
ending.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And two, none of our feelings or opinions have anything to do with the actors portraying them. We all know, you know, what young Anakin had to go through for years and years. It's like, well, he was a kid. It wasn't his fault. I mean, these are people that wrote that.
Yes.
So not taking anything away from the actors that portray these people. But I guess through the first seven episodes of the new one, for seven, eight episodes.
Yeah.
very much understood the Harrison character. I think we understood him and...
Where he came from. He was born of blood, just like his dad.
What he was feeling, for those of you that have, which I don't know anybody that would be listening to this...
That hasn't
watched the original episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, which we just closed out tonight.
Terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a...
You can, like, hear the trauma in my voice.
Kind of a bummer all the way around, yeah. So... I guess let's rewind back to the original episodes just for a minute.
Okay.
So we finished up season eight. Season eight, he meets a pseudo maternal figure in the form of a psychotherapist that worked with his father.
Oh, yes.
Right.
And she was great.
Yeah, she
British
was great. She
chick.
Was wonderful. Yeah.
She was awesome. May I say, great acting. Some of her monologues as a psychiatrist, or whatever she's got going on, or a sociopathic whisperer.
Yeah, yeah.
The psychopath whisperer.
Serial killer whisperer.
That's what we call it, the psychopath whisperer. Yeah. That's what Mitsuka called her in one
episode.
It was very well done. She was great. I loved her. So when she died, I was like, fuck this shit.
you kind of tuned it. Well, that was
but
like
that's
two
normal.
Episodes.
You could kind of expect that from Dexter.
Right. You can. So there's this story arc where he gets a glimpse into his some aspects of his formative years that he himself was not aware of, that the code Harry, his father, gave him wasn't formed on the fly or ad hoc by Harry, but he actually had help in that.
Mm-hmm.
Some can argue that, okay, well, you're seven seasons in, you're just discussing this. Okay, it's, you might be shoehorning that in a little bit. But on my second watching, it worked. It worked. And the character was of Dr. Evelyn Vogel was strong enough to
carry it through.
To carry it through, right. So there's a few good episodes in that where Evelyn Vogel knows who he is, Deb knows who he is and what he does, which is carried forward from the previous season. His girlfriend Hannah McKay comes back into the picture.
She's great.
Yeah, and she knows who he is, and they're all kind of working as a family. Even Harrison that doesn't know anything about this, he's too young, but they're all kind of there's a couple of halcyon moments where they're all working together and you think, man,
the family that slays together stays together.
Right, you think,
you know what I was thinking the whole time I was watching that, because of course I'd seen the end of a new one. Mm-hmm. As I'm rewatching his old stuff, and I'm watching little Harrison and he looks so fucking cute and innocent, and I'm thinking, someday you're gonna grow up, you little shit, and you're gonna kill your dad. And I just couldn't get that out of my head. I couldn't like Harrison anymore, who's this cute little innocent kid.
I know, right?
And it's also the casting now. Like, if you look at Harrison Gedrill, he's this blonde, tan little kid. And somehow when he grows up in casting, he's now this very pale brunette kind of dude. And they just don't match up in the casting, the child.
They can, but we've seen, you know, younglings that are blonde that, you know.
But I guess he was in Miami, so maybe that's where he got his tan and then he left.
Yeah.
Where did they go to in the end?
Argentina.
So yeah, you'd think he'd have a bit of a tan going on still.
Yeah, you'd think. But
whatever, that's here nor there. It's just, you know, he was just so cute and innocent and sweet, and he's got his little dinosaur toy or something. And the whole time I'm thinking, you're going to grow up and betray your own dad. And the thing is, like, if Dexter hadn't have literally just saved his son, who was making idiotic choices.
This is going back to New Blood.
This
now.
Is, we're talking about New Blood. Yeah, sorry, I'm still so angry about it.
Yeah, this podcast is going to be very raw because we literally just finished up only the Dexter New Blood, but also the season 8 finale of
the original
series.
One.
So it was like downer upon downer. So if we're tuned down a little bit, just bear with us.
I just want justice. Yeah, no. It's funny because, like, obviously, you know, Dexter's character is a sociopath and a serial killer. So obviously, he doesn't deserve to live in any realistic realm possibility. I think it's just you get so used to him being around, and you kind of almost, he's like the anti-hero. You kind of want to see him win somehow and have a happy life because he's only going after really evil people who kind of deserve it.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and it doesn't give it any real justification, therefore. I understand that in a real world. But you kind of get attached to him after 8 seasons, and then when they finally bring out a new one, it's a bit of a language in this one, so it's a bit of a cock tease because you're like, okay, getting with Dexter back,
yeah,
and then they take it away from you again, and they're like, oh, just kidding, he's actually dead this time for real.
This time for real.
Yeah, you know, just it, like, What the hell?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, okay, so to speak to your point, is he a sociopath? Is he a psychopath?
Well, okay, this is great. Dr. Evelyn had this great argument, and I agree with this. I've actually studied a lot about psychopathic and sociopathic behavior. And in reality, psychopaths and sociopaths really can't experience emotions in the way like you and I might. And by that I mean they don't really have a strong sense of fear, they have no sense of remorse and regret. If they hurt someone or they hurt a little animal, they'd just be like, whatever. And Dexter possesses some of his traits, surely. But as she herself points out, the doctor points out, well, something very strange of you, Dexter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what is it? And he's like, you're actually showing empathy, which is not naturally a trait of a sociopath. And mm-hmm. you shouldn't be physically experiencing it. So I think that suggests something that perhaps Dexter is not as sociopathic as before. He's still definitely on the spectrum of some fashion, and he's still got this code, but he's still capable of, like, a switch kind of in his head of turning that empathy on and off when necessary.
Yeah,
like
we've seen him be angry, we've seen him scream, be sad.
Right, yeah. I mean, sociopaths and psychopaths can be very angry. Anger is a natural trait that they do experience, but the remorse is not one. He definitely is remorseful beyond his own ego or self, and that is very interesting. And also, of course, you know, the way he believes he experienced love. You know, sociopaths cannot experience love.
Yeah, that was the other point that they spoke to in this final season of the original one, when the Dr. Vogel is observing his relationship with his girlfriend, Hannah.
And he's like, this is strange.
And, yeah, she's taken aback,
like,
almost.
Yeah, she is, yes.
Almost,
and she's like, this can't work.
Now.
Yeah, she's learned something, I think, perhaps in her study. And I really did appreciate her acting. I'm not going to lie. I thought she was absolutely chef's kiss.
Oh, like, yeah. She was wonderful.
Good. So, so good. And it's like, yeah, if you meet sociopaths, something else says. Sociopaths have a different sense of love like you and I would have. They actually are... they can believe that they're in love, but it's a different form of love. So for them, it's still about the self and the ego. So if they believe, a sociopath can love you in a sense that if they believe you are an extension of themselves, of their own ego, then they're capable in a selfish way of loving it like they love themselves, which is why sociopaths become so obsessed with treating people like possessions or objects when they do become. So they mistake obsession for love, which is a dangerous kind of thing. And I think, in fact, the son who ends up killing the doctor.
The doctor has a son that she believed was dead. Just a quick recap.
Well, I'm hoping all these people have seen it at this point to know, but
right.
Yeah. She had a son who's a sociopath, and she was
She had two sons. The eldest killed the youngest. The eldest goes to a mental institution and was believed to have been burned up in a fire, but he actually caused the fire, killing a lot of people and escaping, and has an assumed identity and is now found
killing
her.
All these people. And the fact that Dex is like, yeah, you're not safe. You'd think if she'd studied sociopaths for so long, she would know she was definitively not safe. And yet she's like, yeah, don't worry, my son's not going to hurt me, even if I put him in an institution and he killed my other son. Like, you were just, that part was a bit unbelievable.
Sometimes we always have blind
spots. She's clouded by,
people
I think her empathy, yeah, I think her empathy and the fact she felt she wasn't a good mother is what clouded her in that thing. But getting back to New Blood here, and this new season, bloody hell, do you think they're going to make another one?
I don't know.
I
have no idea what they're, I watched, or I read a couple of articles from the showrunner, and they intimated that they might be making another one, but I don't know what that would work with.
I think it would depend on the views and how it fared rating wise and I can't imagine it faring well. Can you, with that ending?
No, not really. I think,
unless they made a new, entirely different show called Harrison, that's not like a spin-off, you know?
Yeah, and that'd be fine. So here's some of the point-by-point, beat-by-beat issues that I have with these things, and which anyone familiar with the series, or really any series, hindsight's always 20/20. You could be a Monday morning quarterback. You can sit there and yell at the screen saying, you know, don't go in there. You know, don't, you know. It's like, I know the bad guy's in the closet there or whatever.
Right.
But beyond that and being very self-aware of that, there are just some things that are kind of incongruent with what I came to understand Dexter's character to be. Mm-hmm. It so happens in the final episode, or the last two episodes, Dexter does expose the big bad of this series, you know, the person that's killing all these runaways for 30 years. Acted by Clancy Brown, who also was Mr. Krabs.
Oh, yeah? Is that so?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, right, you're talking money.
Yeah, it's like, well, SpongeBob, me boy, I like killing runaways right on the road there, you know, with my rifle. You know, it doesn't quite match up. But, yeah, Clancy Brown, every geek's favorite hero right there, from Kurgan to Starship Troopers to...
I don't know. I'm just disappointed in the sense that, and I'd love to know what the original writers thought, so maybe he planned it that way. I'm not speaking for him, obviously. Obviously, we are aware he knew about it because it was written in some article, and they did confirm, yes, Dexter is officially dead, guys. He's not coming back. That's a done deal.
Talking about Michael C. Hall
I just think, like, the question is, did he write it himself? Because I've not...
No, he didn't. He didn't write, but according to the article, he was I agree with this.
He knew about it, yeah.
He knew about it, and he agreed with that. And okay, that's fine. Sometimes people want to put their characters to bed, or their legacy. It's just...
Different ways to do it.
I can completely understand that at the end of... the original series, season 8, he has a tremendous amount of remorse, especially with the death of Deb.
Yeah.
And that's why he lets Harrison go off with Hannah McKay to Argentina.
Yep.
And the last little internal monologue is everything that he's around, he hurts or causes. He feels that about his wife, you know, Deb, everyone, okay? Ends up getting hurt because of him. So he might have wanted to be done for. He survives the hurricane, obviously, at the end of it. He's in another town. I originally assumed it was Alaska someplace, but it's a northeastern town, upstate New York. If he winds up where he left off in season 8. So when one feels a tremendous amount of guilt, sometimes they either want to be dead or dead to the world.
Yes. Which is where the son comes in, Harrison, looking for him, because he wants to reconnect with his father, is the whole point. And in fact, I think they actually start to go for his bonding process again. It's just so strange to me, go to all this trouble of finding him, and he saves his son just to have his son kill him. And his son's argument is, well, I've got a life here, and I don't want to leave, because I have friends and family. Well, you just killed your dad, you're going to now, and literally do have to leave town anyway. So what's the difference, really, in that situation, if it's about that?
As you said, language cocktease, it was, you started seeing these things that, having watched the final episode of the original series, and then you see this, you're just so hopeful of, okay, this is going to get back on track. Okay, you can't write Deb back into existence, even though the original author of the series, I don't believe, at least at that point, had killed off Deb, and they had many other adventures. So... you see this, okay, you can't rewrite her back into existence, but you've got this connection between Dexter and his son.
Yes. And that's beautiful, and they should have built on that.
And they started that.
The family that slays together stays together.
And they started going down that path with him recognizing, okay, we're both born in blood, here's the code that Harry gave him, and by extension, you know, Dr. Vogel in the later episodes. And you follow that, and you think, okay, this is going somewhere. This is going to be a father and son thing. And I understand the realm within which we're making a podcast, okay?
Yes.
There's stuff that flew back in 2005 that doesn't fly now, okay? In the realm of reality, okay? You can't have anti-heroes that just... sail off into the sunset without any consequences.
Yes.
So I understand that there is a very necessary and cathartic push for, hey, at the end of the day, this guy killed a bunch of people. It doesn't matter what his justifications were. There needs to be something that happens. It just can't keep going on. This isn't like it was back in the day, where you could just have these anti-heroes and it's like almost a cartoonish kind of ambivalence surrounding them. I understand that. But by the same token, when we do live in these times where you've got your creature comforts and you've got your cool little franchises, maybe let us have something.
Yeah, that's what I felt. It's like, okay, for me, Dexter was like this thing of, you can go through terrible times and we've got a pandemic and all these awful things. But, you know, this guy is persevering out there in the world. We surely can too. And it's like when you kill off any hero, really, of anything, it leads me back into that whole thing with Game of Thrones, you know, when they killed off Daenerys. It was just, the writing was poorly done was my problem. Not the fact they did it. It was about how they led up to it and the way it was done was incorrect and, quite frankly, unbelievable. I found that scene with Harrison, which seemed to be unbelievable. And I know I have some friends, I've got an equal across-the-board reaction to this. Some friends are like, you know what, that was really great, and I love it when characters die. Like, a friend of mine said, you know, actually, whether it's, you know, I wanted Harry Potter to die in Harry Potter, and I've not finished that, because it didn't spoil it for me. But I was like, yeah, of course, I get the concept. And it's bold when writers kill people. It's a bold move, and it's very visceral and real. But I think with pandemic, we've got so much horror going on anyway. I think it's time to return to a bit of fairy tale, a bit of happy endings. I think before we needed the visceral stuff because the world was too tame and comfort.
Right, there's the quintessential American ending, okay? You watch in film, it's like, you know, in American films, the hero always wins. And
apocalyptic
there's always the
movies
ending.
Are great when you're not living the apocalypse. But now that we're kind of living in this almost tame apocalypse, I kind of want a bit of, oh, something's going to be okay. Just give me something.
Can I just have some apple pie at the end of this? Everything's going to be fine?
Which is funny thing. It's about a show about a serial killer, okay?
And yeah, I know, right?
A lot of people are going to be listening to this being like,
what the hell are you talking about, girl?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's one of those things where it's something that existed, you know, called Lightning in a Bottle at the time, in that era where it's like...
Lightning in a Bottle is great. No, it's a festival called Lightning in a Bottle. Did you know? Yeah, it's a great festival. Anyway, continue.
Where you can have an anti-hero. And again, going back, right, it's almost boring that the hero always wins, always has this redemption arc or whatnot.
Yeah, especially it does get tiresome.
In American cinematography. It's something that we've been lampooned over for, you know, so many decades. Especially when you watch films where it is like the movie Seven, where the girl isn't saved. The bad things do happen to good characters. It's like leaves you. It's the exact opposite, and it is jarring.
Maybe there's a good message behind it, but I'm just not seeing yet.
Yeah,
maybe that'll come to me later.
Well, so speaking to your point, it's if you already have enough bad stuff going on, and you just have to look out your window or turn on the news, and there's enough bad stuff. There's a salient argument to be made for maybe have a happy ending on this one,
a moment where I thought Dexter was going to kill Harrison. Did it cross your mind?
Yeah, for a nanosecond.
Split second, yeah. Right in the woods by the car, he was like, "Oh shit." And then he actually surprised me. And again, that's not a sociopathic trait. Sociopath would definitely not care about their offspring, they just care about the number one thing is self-survival, right? And he didn't possess those qualities at the end, so again, I think perhaps Dexter wasn't quite as psychopathic as people think.
I think he was probably more or less just a product of trauma.
Yeah.
The
brother too, you know.
Yeah, the brother was a straight-up psychopath.
There's a lot of psychopaths in this show.
You don't say.
Yeah, they say in real life.
A show about serial killers?
Yeah, when you... they say in real life, when you walk on the street, you're likely to bump into... What was the number? I want to make sure I get this right. You have to look it up for me afterwards. But I believe you'd like to bump into three true psychopaths in your life. Like
really?
The real deal. Without ever knowing. Like, and they're usually people, they're quite well concealed, but usually people like CEOs. Mm-hmm. They don't always, like, people think psychopaths as being like these serial killers. And yes, they definitely can be. They have that ability. But a lot of them can really mask into society quite well. It's quite frightening. Mm-hmm. So high-powered people who need to make and cutthroat politicians. Mm-hmm. They end up usually being psychopaths because they have the emotionless requirement. It is almost required in some of those fields to move forward. Brain surgeons, things like that. Mm-hmm. People actually serious, steady hand heart surgeons. You almost need to be a bit emotionless in order to really be mechanical about treating your patient to get them saved.
Disconnected, yeah.
Disconnected, have, yeah, almost robotic. They're like almost android. Like, yeah.
You know, speaking to your point, anecdotally, they say that whenever you ride a bus, there's always at least one weirdo on every bus. But I gotta tell you, I've never met one.
You're funny. So we're sitting at 25 minutes right now into this podcast. I'm actually amazed just by sheer ranting, willpower alone.
Yeah, sheer ranting.
That we've made it this far into the podcast is unbelievable.
Yeah.
To me, I guess here's my final series of questions here.
Okay.
One, would you watch Dexter again? Or do you think you've done?
Yes.
Yes, you would. You would.
I would.
Wow, okay.
It might take a couple of years, but I'll watch it again.
Okay, yeah, you're not like saying okay tomorrow. Because for me, I just don't know. Now that I've seen it, I'm quite just like if someone said, hey, do you want to watch Game of Thrones again? I was like, I don't know if I can take that ride again right now.
For me, watching programs, if somebody has never seen it,
then it's fun.
You get to share this, and then you get to be like, okay, here's where it starts veering off a little bit. Fair warning, you don't have to watch this season or whatever.
Right, it's refreshing to watch it with somebody because then you're showing them.
You're seeing it through new eyes.
Right, you can share your excitement with them as well and impart that behavior. I could see that. That totally makes sense. If there is a new, let's say, whether it's a new season of Dexter New Blood, name pending, or a spin-off suspected called Harrison, just a guess, would you watch it?
I would.
Do you entertain it?
So once upon a time, back in a million years ago, I used to like crap all over this movie called Twilight. I don't know if you ever heard of it. and I never watched it.
And
somebody says, have you ever watched it? And I was like, you know what? No, I haven't. So then I watched it so that I could categorically crap all over with intelligent conversation. No, I say that in jest. There's good parts in that one too, what have you. I'm not a purist in some regards.
I'm
but
not a fan.
For what it was, it's not my cup of tea, but for what it was, right. I can understand. Okay, cool, great. Moving on. But if they came out with a Harrison thing, I'd watch at least an episode or two.
You know what I dislike is that 50 Shades of Grey was originally a Twilight
fan fiction. Yeah, a poorly written fan fiction.
That did very, very well. So who's laughing all the way to the back?
I know, right? Yeah.
That's the joke.
Grammatically incorrect all the way, you know? So, oh, man. I'd at least watch a couple of episodes
just
so I could.
Let's see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. And if there is, maybe we'll have another podcast in the future dedicated to that. But as it stands, I believe, folks, this is the closing chapter of this
podcast. It is. It is.
And it's the end.
My only friend, the end. It's sad.
It is sad, but you know
it's
what?
It's melancholy.
It's melancholy, like losing a good friend who has been at your house for several days and has to leave. time to go.
Yeah, aww.
Oh, is it already time to go? I guess so. And on that note, we are at the finality of this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me today and discuss this. Spent the world. Check it out. We're going to have another one coming up shortly.
It's my pleasure.
I know we've been a little bit sparse on our podcasting, but
sporadic even.
Sporadic, you might say, yes. And we are working on getting back into it now, is the point.
Back in the groove now that we're not binge watching Dexter.
Exactly. That wasn't why. No, it wasn't that. Okay, without further ado, take care, good night, and sleep tight.